Tom and Tom a happy 90th birthday on the Johnny Woodlock Show.
But it's a free-for-all and they're having a ball, they're bringing in the Irish moss. It's a free-for-all and they're having a ball, they're bringing in the Irish moss.
Well, yes, friends, following the Lord's Prayer, we are once again back here on the Way Back with Johnny Show as we celebrate the 90th milestone birthday of Stompin' Tom Connors. We're still coming to you via the Woodlock Ranch and Studios in Cornwall, Ontario, as well as being heard over historic CFRC 1019 FM from the heart of the limestone city of Kingston, Ontario. We can also be heard throughout the greater Toronto area at www.oshawarocks.com and also heard over our YouTube channel at Way Back with Johnny on YouTube. As I welcome you all here to the third and final hour of this special celebration to the King of Canadian Country Music's 90th birthday, Stompin' Tom, I'd like to remember a very patriotic move in Stompin' Tom's career and highlight a certain part in Tom's career where he decided to give up the fame and retire for about 10 years. That was in 1978 when he would return his Juno Awards, due in part to his feelings that the music industry was favoring the people who worked outside of Canada. Even writing a letter to the Juno Board stating that he was no longer proud to have them in his possession, and also referring to the artist as Juno Jumpers, among other things. This was a very trying time in Tom's life, and he would not return to the stage until 1988, when he would come back out as a comeback artist. From then on, he would perform on the stages across Canada. First of all, I'd like to pay tribute to an all-time classic called The Singer is the Voice of the People. That was recorded in 1978 on his final record that he would release in 1978 before his retirement. And then we'll follow that with a 1991 classic called No Canadian Dream. With that, welcome in, friends, and happy listening here on Way Back with Johnny over CFRC 1019 FM and also www.oshawarocks.com. I'd also like to mention here that during this time that he was off doing retirement, he became very, very patriotic and very, very political. With that, here are two examples. Welcome in, friends.
Don't understand. The singer is the voice of the people, and his song is the soul of our land. So singer, please stay and don't go away with so many words to be said. For a land without song can't stand very long when the voice of its people is dead. Oh, singer, you must search for your place on the earth while the same for your nation is true. So lift up the soul of your country and a place will be found here for you. But don't go and run till your song has been sung and the words of your soul have been said. For a land without song can't stand very long when the voice of its people is dead. You may pile up your gold, but the pride of your soul is the small bit of hope you bestow on the children who come this way tomorrow in search of the right way to go. So singer, sing on like the first ray of dawn with your promise of day just ahead. For the land without song can't stand very long when the voice of its people is dead. Oh, I hear every day how they're going away. I guess they just don't understand. The singer is the voice of the people, and his song is the soul of our land. So singer, please stay and don't go away with so many words to be said. For a land without song can't stand very long when the voice of its people is dead. When the voice of its people is dead. The voice of its people is dead.
A thing is that they are taking opportunities away from the people who choose to be proud to live in this country and to do their work here.
The music of strangers, they play in our homes and tell us that we don't have songs of our own. They give us no choices and make it quite clear they'll play what they want us to hear. Canadian radio, boy, is it grand when you want to hear music from some other land. They tell us to like it and flow with the stream. We have no Canadian dream. There's no Canadian dream, my friends. We have no Canadian dream. The radio blares and the music declares we have no Canadian dream. We hear the American telling his son of the battles he fought and the freedoms he won. He sings about home and the pride that he has, and his son wants to be like his dad. Canadian radio, boy, is it grand when you want to hear stories from some other land. They teach us to long for those faraway scenes where there's no Canadian dream. There's no Canadian dream, my friends. We have no Canadian dream. The radio blares and the music declares we have no Canadian dream. No, we've got no cotton and no Uncle Sam. We've got no Texas and no Alabama. From all of our singers, we don't hear a sound from St. John's to Vancouver town. We don't write letters, we don't use the phones, we have no petitions to make our cause known. Even our children don't know what it means to dream a Canadian dream. There's no Canadian dream, my friends, we have no Canadian dream. The radio blares and the music declares we have no Canadian dream. We have no Canadian dream.
It seems that because you mention something about our country in a song, all of a sudden these same radio stations I'm referring to say, hey, that's too regional, or that's too Canadian, or that's too something. It doesn't fit our format. It's no good. When you turn a radio on in this country, you hear about every other nation in the world, but you don't hear about this one.
Well, now, friends, moving up into the later years of Stompin' Tom's career, I would like to once again pay tribute to the comeback years, which were 1988, when he came back after retirement for 10 years. With that mentioned, he would record many more albums into his career, but the 1990s would shine some of the most romantic and beautifully written songs of Tom's career. So let's begin way back in 1992 and a classic called Alberta Rose. We'll then follow with two songs from 1995. First of all, Songbird Valley, and we'll follow that with Road to Thunder Bay, and we'll wrap up with a turn of the century song that was his tribute to the Confederation Bridge down there in Prince Edward Island, his home province, and it was simply called Confederation Bridge. With that, I would like to welcome y'all in and also say that these are the comeback years of Stompin' Tom's career. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening.
A melody, a song. And Rose, I know you're waiting out Alberta way for me to come back home and settle down. Alberta Rose, I miss you. The ranch, the rolling foothills far away, and the songs of old Alberta, I sing them every day. Rose, I'm coming home to stay. Westerlies that whisper in my window. You're home alone and waiting for that sunny day. Well, darling, tell your heart I'm on my way. Alberta Rose, I miss you. The ranch, the rolling foothills far the songs of old Alberta, I sing them every day. Rose, I'm coming home to stay. Alberta Rose, I miss you. The ranch, the rolling foothills far away, and the songs of old Alberta, I sing them every day. Rose, I'm coming home to stay. Rose, I'm coming home to stay. Alberta Rose. I got your letter just this morning, where you speak of yesterday, when the mill came to our valley and your old friends moved away. And like the song birds on your paper that were made in the Songbird Mill, they're all gone from Songbird Valley, like the trees from Songbird Hill. Now you say you'd like to see me where your home sits in the breeze, among the smells of devastation. We'll renew old memories, but like the song birds on your paper that were made in the Songbird Mill, your friends are gone from Songbird Valley, like the trees from Songbird Hill. And I don't care now to remember, 'cause I've never been at ease since the mill came to our valley and destroyed our precious trees. But like the song birds on your paper that were made in the Songbird Mill, they're all gone from Songbird Valley, like the trees from Songbird Hill. And the song birds on your paper that were made in the Songbird Mill, they won't come back to Songbird Valley. Just like me, they never will. Just like me, old friend, they never will.
was standing alone by the highway. I stopped as he climbed into the car. When I asked him how far he'd be going, he just sang to a small blue guitar. I'll meet her tonight at the lake head. I'll tell her I promise to stay. When I've come to the end of my journey down this long, lonely road to Thunder Bay. While the shadows of night were descending, I could see in the mirror of the car. He had fallen asleep in the back seat, still holding his small blue guitar. But I still heard the words and the music. They stirred me in some quiet way. As I thought of the girl who was waiting down that long, lonely road to Thunder Bay. As I came to the crash on the highway, what I saw really gave my mind a jar. When I learned how a young life had ended for some lad with a small blue guitar. With no need to look in the back seat, I was sure as I drove on my way. This was all just some dream or delusion down the long, lonely road to Thunder Bay. All at once to my ear there was music. It came from the back seat of the car. And there, like a haze in my mirror, he sang to a small blue guitar. Will you meet her tonight at the lakehead? Will you tell her I'll see her someday? When I've come to the end of my journey down this long, lonely road to Thunder Bay, will you meet her tonight at the lakehead? And tell her I'll see her someday. When I've come to the end of my journey down this long, lonely road to Thunder Bay. Confederation bridges our nation to an island so rich and so rare. I'll be driving Northumberland straight to that wonderland garden that's cradled out there. And I'll bet there's no bridges through high mountain ridges on land or on sea to compare with a confederation that bridges our nation to Prince Edward Island so fair. And it's calling, calling me over the blue waters rolling, and soon I'll be strolling out there. Down by the ocean where the island devotion to friendship is found everywhere. And it's calling, calling me over the blue waters rolling, and soon I'll be strolling out there. Down by the ocean where the island devotion to friendship is found everywhere. While Confederation bridges our nation to an island so rich and so rare,
I'll be driving Northumberland straight to that wonderland garden that's cradled out there. And I'll bet there's no bridges from high mountain ridges on land or on sea to compare with the Confederation that bridges our nation to Prince Edward Island so fair. And it's calling, calling me over, the blue water's rolling, and soon I'll be strolling out there. Down by the ocean where the island devotion to friendship is found everywhere. And it's calling, calling me over, the blue water's rolling, and soon I'll be strolling out there. Down by the ocean where the island devotion to friendship is found everywhere. And it's calling, calling me over, the blue water's rolling, and soon I'll be strolling out there. Down by the ocean where the island devotion to friendship is found everywhere. And it's calling, calling me over, the blue water's rolling, and soon I'll be strolling out there. Down by the ocean where the island...
Well, the main thing that I want to say is to all Canadians, I'd like to draw their attention to the fact that the main reason why they themselves are not familiar with an awful lot of song that is being written about our country and about the people in it is because it's not getting played on radio stations.
Now, friends, it is a true honor to welcome another former member of the Stompin' Tom Touring Band to our program today, and a former bandmate of Stompin' Tom's, Mr. Al Wittemeyer. With that mentioned, Al has been a longtime member of the Stompin' Tom Band. With that mentioned, I would like to follow this interview with an all-time classic, as he requested I play a Stompin' Tom's called The Al Can Run. I'd also like to mention that this is one of the songs that Tom recorded, however, I don't believe wrote, but here is my good friend, Al Widmeyer.
Hi, Johnny.
Well, it's a pleasure to be talking to you. So let's go back to when and how it all began. How did you get associated with Tom?
Well, what I got associated with Tom was I didn't know him at the time, but it was back in the 70s.
Okay.
With a band called the Dixie Flyers. And we were on Boot Records, which was Tom's label.
Of course, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. And we recorded Roses in the Snow, and also Bert the Boys did a couple of originals that were with his publishing company.
And so how did you come to work for him then?
Well, I had a lot of friends play with him over the years, guys I played with, you know, yes. Steve Petrie, Darren Parise, Mark LaForme, but I was working a day job. I tried to get in that band in 1989 when he came out of retirement, but the job or the position was already filled.
Okay.
And worked a day job for 24 years. I drove a city bus in Kitchener, Ontario.
Oh, okay.
But still played. When Tom would come to town, I'd get together with Steve Petrie and Darren Parise, and we'd get together, and sometimes they'd sneak off, and they'd come to my place in Kitchener, and one time they said they were going to be in trouble because they left the tour for... you know, a few hours. And I said, well, no problem. I said, here's a little bit of moonshine for you to take to Tom. Oh, you don't like that. Because I just got back from the States. I went to a bluegrass festival down there, and I had this moonshine, extra moonshine. So I sent him a little bottle. He remembered that.
Yes.
And I got a call. It would have been in 2004. I got a call to play on his record. Well, he wanted me to play Dobro on his record. And what happened was, I was in Nashville at the Spigma Bluegrass Convention. I was down there. And Darren Parise called me. He says, Tom wants you to come up and play on his record. And I said, well, unfortunately, I won't be able to make it. Okay. That was 2004. And that was the Hockey Mom album.
Okay, yes. One of his second to last ones, or third to last ones, yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so that was 2004. So 2005... Darren was still playing with the band, and he needed a ride to catch up with the tour. And they were staying in Stratford, which is not, I lived in Kitchener, so it wasn't too far. I said,
not
sure,
too far, exactly.
Yeah, I said, I'll drive you over, but I said, I want to meet Tom. I want to make sure he's there. Or can you make sure he's there? And he goes, yeah, he'll be there. Okay, so anyways, we got to the motel, because Tom always liked motels that you drive up and you go in your room.
Like okay, stop. yes, one level type of thing, yes.
One level, that's the ones he likes.
I see.
He gets truck parked right outside. We parked in front of his room and or Darren's room, and there's Tom sitting out having a cigarette and a beer, you know, because there was their day off. Kind of had a couple of days off. I said, Darren said, stay here and I'll go and see if he wants to talk with anybody. Okay, so he goes over. Next thing you know, yep, I'm there. And we get talking. And we get talking about the Dixie Flyers.
Okay, yeah.
But then they're talking about people that I know that, like my father played with a guy by the name of Claire Adlam back in the day, and my father-in-law played with Claire Adlam also back in the day. And well, Tom and him were pretty good friends, you know, back in the day too. Started talking about the old times and everything. And next thing you know, he offers me a beer, and I said, sure, I'll have a beer. And so next thing, another one came, and we got talking, and it's about old times and everything. And then we talked about the records, and we talked about the Dixie Flyers. And he said, oh yes. And I asked him. I said, was that true that that you're looking at getting the Dixie Flyers to do a tribute album to Stomp and Tom? He said, yes, that is correct. I said, that's cool. Well, what happened? He went into retirement, and so it never happened.
Okay.
So he says, have you ever thought of, I told him what I do now, and I said, just do with a plan, but he says, do you ever think about going out playing, you know, again? And I said, yeah, maybe. Well, sure enough, I did. I got a call in the spring of 2006 to go out on tour.
Nice.
So that's how it all started.
I see. And so how many years did you stay with Tom?
I was with him right to the end.
Right to the end. Okay, sure. So you would have recorded with him as well then?
Oh, yes. I toured with Tom was 2006, and then we had 2007 off, and then 2008... We did the NHL Hockey Awards show, and then we recorded the Ballad of Stomp and Tom, that record.
Yes.
Then we went on tour in 2009.
Okay. And then 2011 was more or less his last year of touring.
That was the last tour.
Yeah. I see.
So 2006, we did the East Coast tour.
Okay.
And that was pretty interesting. You know, we played Newfoundland and, all the provinces, all the East Coast provinces. And we actually, the teacup lady from...
Oh, Rita McNeil.
No, we were playing in Sydney, Nova Scotia, and she came to the show.
Okay. Yeah. I see.
Well, I got to meet her. I was pretty happy to meet her.
Nice. And so what was it like, those road tours? I know you must have stories of Tom.
I do.
Would you share some of them with us?
Well, sure. Tom didn't like going inside to restaurants because he couldn't smoke.
Oh, of course, yes. Yes,
Tom smoked over 100 cigarettes a day.
Wow.
And he liked his room temperature moosehead.
Okay, yes. Okay.
And the one thing about the room temperature moosehead was when we were sitting out, he liked the patio. So we'd be sitting out in the patio. And the waitress would come, and she would serve us, and they'd serve Tom. You know, Tom would wear sunglasses and a different hat, so you wouldn't know it's Tom.
Okay, yes, I was going to say, yeah.
He'd say to the waitress, have you got any warm beer sitting back there on the floor in your back room? I said, nope. So he said, well, give me a... He would ask, where's the one moosehead? No moosehead. Okay, then he'd... have you got any golden? No, I haven't got any golden. Okay, well, I'll take a Canadian. But he said, an export, also an export.
Okay.
And he said, now take that bottle and run her under a hot tap for a couple of minutes.
To make it warm.
And the waitress would really give her the kind of a funny look. We all did too
yes. And so he must have I know the stories go that he would drink up into the mid-mornings or whatever, and those parties must have been quite something to be part of too, Al.
Oh yes, well, there's, you know, like the man knew a million jokes.
Yes,
yeah, he did.
I see.
He knew a million jokes. Even though we heard him every year, they were still funny.
Exactly. And this is what his stage presence was. It wasn't just the songs. It was also the entertainment side of it.
He had a couple of... I remember the last couple of tours. He had a I mean, we thought it was just a joke. We thought it was funny, but they were, some people kind of didn't really like them, you know.
Yes.
But, you know, they did them anyways. It didn't matter because everyone knew he was joking, right?
Exactly. This is it. So what is your memories of some of those recording sessions with Tom?
Interesting.
Yes.
Well, see, the last record, the Ballad of Stomp of Tom was my first record with him.
Yes.
And he basically... It was, in the recording terms, was live off the floor, basically. And then he would add. But the drums and the bass and the guitar and the vocals was live off the floor. And when he sang it once, that was it.
There was no double take then.
There was no double take, and there was no editing the words or the tuners or nothing. It was all natural.
I see, yes.
But then he would bring in, bring in a guitar or two or another instrument, right? When we did...
And overdub it.
Yeah, he'd overdub it.
Yeah, I see.
Kevin Barry song, that old Irish folk
song,
he brought in actually a pipe drummer.
Oh, wow.
To do the drums in that, yeah.
Now, you also were telling me last summer about a trip of wood that you have in the DVD cases. You wanted him to actually stomp yours. I found that quite interesting, yes.
He said, I already stomped that piece of board. And I said, well, mine must have missed it because I didn't have any black on mine. So it was the last day of the tour of North Bay. It was the last day.
Yes.
In Sudbury in 2006. We were playing out an outdoor festival. It was a pile of people there. I think our Mother Peace were the night before.
Oh, wow. But
we were the next night. There was a huge, huge, I'm talking thousands of people at this thing because it's a big event on the lakeshore outside.
Yes.
And we all got, they gave us DVDs.
Yes, of course.
So inside was a little board, and I said, I got to do, and this when I was leaving, I left a little early. I said, one thing I want you to do for me, Tom. And he said, what's that? I said, I want you to stomp my board. He said, you want me to what? Out with the DVD, take the piece of board out. And he says, you want me to stomp that? I said, I do so. I want to see you do it so I can say that stomp and Tom did.
Exactly.
It. So he did. He stomped it, and there's black on it.
So share with us a little bit about what Tom's contribution to country music in Canada is like for you or being a musician yourself.
It says it all. You know, it speaks of our country, and it speaks of our people. You
exactly.
Know? There's no one else out there doing it. I mean, like, God bless these people that go down to Nashville.
Yes.
And they get their big record contract. They write all their songs down there. They do everything in Nashville. But then they come back to Canada and they say, well, I'm Canadian. I should get that award.
Yeah, this is it.
And that's what Tom was mad about. He didn't like that. He said they should have had another award called the Maple Award instead of Juno Awards because he calls all them people down there Juno jumpers.
Like, that was Tom's motto in life, was to be true to his country.
It was that. It was the guys who wrote songs, Canadian songs, and toured Canada and back and forth from, you know, BC all the way out to Newfoundland, who were on the road 6 days, nights a week and cut their teeth in this country and recorded, but they don't get no recognition until they go down to the United States.
That's it, yeah.
And they get a big record deal and stuff like that. It just doesn't seem fair.
Tell us about what your thoughts would be on what, I know Tom would have something to say about today and what we're going through.
I'm on both sides of the fence.
Yes.
We're not Americans.
No.
And we're never going to be Americans. And exactly. I don't want what's going on down there up here.
Exactly. I hear you.
And, sure. You know, I mean, I got friends and that's all people talk about.
We all have family and friends on both sides. Exactly. Yeah. So it's hard to be biased. But yes, I'm sure he would have a few songs.
That's for sure. he'd have a few songs, you know, the pandemic, and he'd have lots to write about.
Exactly. And even this transport thing in Ottawa, and he'd have a whole album nowadays.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, we looked like a bunch of idiots when that truck thing went on. You know, I thought, they want freedom? You got freedom. You live in the best country in the country.
Exactly.
In the world. They're complaining, and then they're praising the Donald Trump. Well, you know, like, you got to stand up. It doesn't matter if it's right or left. That's my Johnny. I just want people to get along.
Exactly. It's about getting along. And like his last album that came out posthumously, display or whatever you want to say, let's smile again. So that's, you know. So in wrapping up today, and I'd love to do it again with you sometime and get some more Tom stories from you.
Sure.
But share with us one of your favorite songs of Tom's that I can play for you.
Oh man, you're one of my favorite songs. Well, you know, I mean, everybody likes it, but The Bridge Came Tumbling Down is one of my faves.
Yes.
It's always been one of my faves. But one that Tom didn't write is The Al Can Run is one
of my favorites. Okay, yes, that's another good one. Yeah. So with that, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and let's do it again sometime.
Yes, well, I'd just like to tell you and all your people out on the radio to keep a listen for this summer, because I've been in talks with Mickey Andrews, and Mary played with when Tom came out of retirement. It was Mickey and Mary and the band, and there's going to be a reunion. There's going to be Billy McGinnis, Mickey and Mary, and myself and Tib Hadley.
Nice.
And it's looking like, it's not 100% sure yet, but it looks like it could be something going on in Lindsay on July 1st.
July 1st, so Canada Day. Okay.
And we're going to have a reunion type deal.
Okay, and, well, let's be in touch for that, and I'd love to promote that if you give me more info on it through the email or whatever, Al. Yeah.
I'll give you more info. The guy that is in charge of is David McLean, I believe his name is, and he used to work with Tom with the record company, with EMI, and he was one of their promotion guys, and he got in touch with me, and we're gonna have a little reunion, and then I've got other places now that I've talked to who are interested in having us, so there might be a few shows come up next year.
Let's hope. Yes, for sure. And it'll be like a tribute or something to Tom, will it?
Oh yes, it'll be a tribute.
Good.
And we'll do Canadian stuff, and who knows what's gonna happen. It's gonna be a good time anyways.
Yes. Well, with that, I want to thank you for telling us about that, and let's say happy birthday to Tom up there in heaven. He's still missed.
Yes, he is missed very much.
Yeah. Take care, Al, and thank you for everything.
Yeah, I hope to see you this summer at one of the festivals.
I drove a rig from coast to coast, but let me tell you, son, I ain't never seen the likes of my first Al Can Run. I got my rig in Charlottetown, I pulled to Montreal. I laid waste on the DCH to the Rocky Mountain Wall. I had heard about the Al Can since I was a kid. I always wanted to make this run and live to say I did. Up one grade and around the other on the Al Can Run. From Dawson Creek to Fort Nelson, I made out just fine. But I found out what the Al Can was farther up the line. Old Steamboat Mountain laid ahead, 14 miles a hill. There's everything an old steamboat to test a trucker's skill. I drove to the summit, the snow, it did fly, with icicles hanging underneath my rig and dust in my eyes. Up one grade and around the other on the Al Can Run. I drove without chains all the way, though it was against my will. I let her roll a-going down the grade, and I booted her up the hill. From Fort St. John to White Horse, I learned my lesson well. Before you get to heaven, boys, you gotta drive through hell. From the Yukon through Alaska, in the land of the midnight sun, it's up one grade and around the other on the Al Can Run. Up one grade and around the other on the Al Can Run.
Now, friends, I do hope y'all enjoyed that interview with our good friend Al Widmeyer. Now, once again, it's that time in the program to mention that the final recordings of Stompin' Tom came out during the 2000s leading up to his passing. He would record right up to the year that he passed in 2013, and there have been many
rumored songs to be still released, but if they ever will be is anybody's guess. With that mentioned, I'd like to remember a couple of classics off the 2000s era, and this is about the time that I first began to really get an interest in Stompin' Tom's career. With that mentioned, it's going to be a 2004 song called My Hockey Mom, which we'll dedicate to all those who play hockey or the parents of those who play hockey. We'll then follow with a song from 2008 and the Ballad of Stompin' Tom album, which was called Chase Me Charlie. And then, we'll, of course, that sad last album came. And it wasn't a sad album, but it was a sad fact that it would be his last album. And this came out about 6 months before Tom's passing. And that was released in 2012 called The Roads of Life. With that, it is going to be an all-time classic called The Tiny Red Light. Welcome in, friends.
When I was young, I do recall, we would go to school in the early fall. But on the days when there was no school, we'd learn to play by a different rule. Get out of that bed, you sleepyhead, my hockey mom would say. Grab your skates and don't be late, there's a hockey game today. And poor old dad was feeling bad because he couldn't come. He'd have to go to work, and so I took my orders from my hockey mom. And then we'd roll to the rink in town, and I'd hit that ice by falling down. And then I'd score for the other team, and you could hear my mom stand up and scream. Get off of that ice, I told you twice to skate the other way. And every year she bent my ear until I learned to play. And when my stick got pretty quick and the puck to me would come, each time I scored I knew for sure where the loudest cheer was from. My hockey mom. And then one day a stranger came from far away, and he took my name. And very soon for the NHL, when I came to play, mom came to yell. Get on that puck and stir things up, show some winning pride. And every time she said that line, I'd bang that puck inside. And here's my dad, all Mr. Glad, he knew this night would come. We're all lined up for the Stanley Cup, and the tears are rolling from my hockey mom. My hockey mom, ain't she the plum? My hockey mom. My hockey mom, forever young, my hockey mom. Now Charlie was a farmer's son who used to feed the sows, and Mary was a country gal who used to milk the cows. And every time that Mary went with Charlie to the bray, she knew the guy was awful shy and teased him every day. Chase me, Charlie, through the barley in the afternoon. Chase me, Charlie, through the barley by the light of the moon. Chase me, Charlie, through the barley if you catch me soon. You'll be married to me, Charlie, by the 1st of June. Charlie to the dance he went to hear the fiddles play. And there was Mary from the dairy dancing cares away. And when she grabbed him by the arm, his face it turned to red. He hollered, whoa, let me go, but this is what she said. Chase me, Charlie, through the barley in the afternoon. Chase me, Charlie, through the barley by the light of the moon. Chase me, Charlie, through the barley if you catch me soon. You'll be married to me, Charlie, by the 1st of June. Charlie in the morning went to fetch a load of hay. And there was Mary, quite contrary, standing in his way. And when she called him Rooster Face, she knew the deed was done. She up and away to the barley field as fast as she could run. There was Charlie chasing Mary all the afternoon. There was Charlie chasing Mary by the light of the moon. And Mary, Mary, quite contrary, sings a different tune. 'Cause she got married to her Charlie, now they're bride and groom. Chased me Charlie through the barley in the afternoon. Chased me Charlie through the barley by the light of the moon. Chased me Charlie through the barley, if you catch me soon, you'll be married to me Charlie by the 1st of June. And she got married to her Charlie, now they're bride and groom. See the lighthouse way up on the hill, built by a man with a pledge to fulfill. He promised to work both by day and by night in just an old shack with his tiny red light. And from that old lamp he made models for sale, and to every buyer he told a sad tale. How he promised to pay for the beacon so bright with the money he'd make from each tiny red light. His story began when his wife, she once said, "Bring out the lamp, there's a storm overhead." Her little girl ran with an eager delight, and she placed in the window the tiny red light. But her father from fishing came home wet and cold, angry and cross that his fish were not sold. He said that the oil it must do for the night, and he took from the window the tiny red light. Oh, father, dear father, don't take it away. It may guide some sailors far out on the bay. And if he had have known what would happen that night, he'd have left in the window the tiny red light. Early next morning came a knock on the door. A sailor stood pointing far out on the shore. With tears in his eyes he told the sad tale, how three tiny ships had gone down in the gale. "We followed your tiny red light," said the man, "till it vanished from sight on the rocks our ships ran. Many were drowned on the billows last night that might have been saved by your tiny red light. And now there's a lighthouse way up on the hill, and we thank the old man for the pledge he fulfilled. And to pay for the oil in his beacon tonight, dear sir, could you purchase one tiny red light? To pay for the oil in his beacon tonight, dear sir, could you purchase one tiny red light?"
I knew very early in my career that there was no way I was going to get people into a hotel door by standing there and singing like the rest of people. I had to do something different. And so let's say the boot and the board got them in the door, because that made people talk. They said, "You should come and see this guy ripping boards apart. And the sawdust flies everywhere, and it's into your drink, and it's on your clothes, and it's all over the place, and you can go up and get a matchbox full of sawdust to, just to prove to people that this happened and all this kind of thing." But the second time they came to see me wasn't to see me bang my boot into the board. It was to hear what I was saying.
Now, friends, you know, I have gone over many clips of interviews over the years during our tributes to Stompin' Tom. And one of my favorite clips is this one here. So I'd like to play it, and then we'll be back to the music following this. Welcome in, friends.
And then, of course, you know, it's my smoking. I can't go in restaurants anymore. It's hard to get motel rooms anymore. And, you know, the smoking thing has become, I've become a second-class citizen, really, in my own country.
Well, yes, friends, once again, it's that time in the program to say so long from the Way Back with Johnny Show here on CFRC, www.oshawarocks.com, as well as YouTube. With that mentioned, I would like to pay tribute to Stompin' Tom one last time in his own words of how he would like to be remembered.
What would I want to be remembered as? I think somebody who just wrote a song about what he's seen and what he experienced and what he knew at the time that was happening, wrote about it, and doesn't deserve any more than any other proud Canadian would deserve, and that means all of us, really, just to become Canada conscious.
And now, of course, it's that time to say so long from the Way Back with Johnny Show here on CFRC 101.9 FM, www.oshawarocks.com. And I'd also like to thank each and every one of you for allowing me to do this program today, a full 3 hours of Stompin' Tom's Great Classics. With that mentioned, I'd also like to thank his former bandmates, Al Widmeyer, Darren Prissé, and also Mickey Andrews for appearing on today's program. And yes, the day, March 6th, the 2013 was one of the saddest days for all Canadian country music listeners and fans, as that was the day that Stompin' Tom Connors passed away at the age of 77. It came to many of us unexpectedly, only known to those who were closest to him. He was sent away in a ceremony of life at the Peterborough Memorial Center in Peterborough, Ontario. And as we say so long today, I would like to play a little clip from that funeral service. Then we'll play the song that he wanted to be remembered for. Over all of his career and all of his songs he had recorded, this is the one song he always wanted to be remembered for, and it is called I Am the Wind. It is engraved on his tombstone up there in Erin, Ontario, where he's laid to rest in the Erin Union Cemetery, and he will forever be remembered for his contribution to Canadian history, and especially music. With that mentioned, let's pay tribute to him one last time, as we remember what would have marked the 90th birthday of a true patriot and hero of our land, Stompin' Tom Connors. Then, if there's enough time, we will send it all home with Mike Plume and a song that he also sang at the Stompin' Tom funeral called So Long Stompin' Tom. So with that, may God bless you, Tom, and we still miss you all these years later. And God bless Canada. So long, friends, and happy listening.
From the humblest of beginnings to a great poet of this land, we have learned many great life lessons from this extraordinary man. He sang of our great cities, and the smallest were part of his plan, of the rugged and natural beauty of his so deeply beloved land. He greatly respected our soldiers, and of pride in them he sang, for he knew the price that they have paid for the freedoms enjoyed in his land. He could walk with princes and paupers, and the same of both he would demand, be upright, caring, and honest, and trust the shake of a hand. He worked to help our musicians and artists went hand in hand and encouraged them to sing their songs in their home and native land. His songs spoke to common people about things they love and understand, like ketchup, potatoes, and tobacco picking, and the struggles of the everyday man. His memory will live on forever through the messages in the songs that he sang, in his wife and sons and daughters, and through the millions of his fans. We will leave this evening's memorial on one thing: united we will stand. Canada is so much a better place because of Stompin' Tom, the legend, the man. No home
day and gone again on my way.
Of Saskatchewan and tobacco from Tillsonburg, a million drunken angels are singing with you tonight. And when you see my mom down in the front row, could you tell her I'm doing all right? And so long, Stompin' Tom, I can't believe you're gone. songs like Big Joe Muffera and Sudbury Saturday Night. So long, Stompin' Tom, may you rest in peace tonight. So long, Stompin' Tom, may you rest in peace tonight.
What better stamp of approval could anyone receive from the people of the nation that one sings about? When you come up from the ranks of the street people and receive this kind of recognition, it leaves a great deal of hope in the hearts of those that are